Good evening. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Gordon Chang, my colleague and co-host, joins me. And we're going immediately to Washington. Gordon, we're keeping on the sunny side tonight because the president's speech today was about better days ahead. That's one summary position. Good evening, Gordon.
Good evening, John. It was quite a speech.
Mr. Drucker, the president was at George Washington University these last hours to present one more time the budget for 2012 and going forward, I think 12 years. Mr. Ryan, of the budget, the chairman of the budget committee in the House of Representatives, was present. So in Washington, is the opinion that this was a response directly to Mr. Ryan's budget of last week, or is this a take two of the White House budget from February 2011?
Well, I think it was both a do-over and a response to Paul Ryan's budget. And I think in part because Paul Ryan's budget was rather well received in a general sense. And so instead of being lambasted and completely run out of town for attempting to deal with Medicare and Medicaid and cut spending, as I don't know that we've ever seen in Washington, he got critical praise for both having the courage to deal with it and being so comprehensive. And I think that the administration felt as though it had to join this debate or be completely outflanked and left behind and take further accusations that it just simply wasn't going to lead on this issue.
David, you know, you talk about being outflanked and left behind. You know, we people in New York think about the global markets and what they think of the dollar and all the problems. And, you know, basically foreigners think that the United States will never get its house in order. Do people in Washington keep any sort of eye on what foreigners are saying and what's happening to our currency and the global markets?
Yeah, well, you people in New York are a lot more rational than we people here are in Washington. And I have to say it's sort of a little of both. I think that if you talk to anybody on either side of the aisle, they know that there are these concerns in the global economy, and they know that in theory we have to address this issue. But of course, the two parties come at this from starkly different positions. I mean, if you're a Democrat, you want to raise a lot of taxes to balance the budget, and if you're a Republican, you want to cut a lot of spending. And, you know, this is a mathematical issue. You could probably do it either way or a mixture of both. But they butt heads on this issue. And I think the first test is going to be the debt limit. I can tell you that Mitch McConnell this week, the Senate Republican leader, while not giving away what he wants to accept a debt limit increase, said he wants it to be well received by the markets and the global community, among others. And that will tell him that the president is serious, and that will get his vote.
David, the budget presented by the White House in February earlier, Mr. Liu, the budget the boss at the White House, did not use the word cuts or deficit reduction in a memorable fashion. Does that mean that this presidential speech today said never mind to what happened in February, or was there the assumption that this is building on his earlier remarks?
You know, I think we're still trying to figure that out. This reminds me, John, a lot about health care, and it seems like every couple of months the president tried to reset the health care debate with a major speech or address or press conference. And so he didn't necessarily junk everything that had come before, but he, in a sense, attempted to reset it. The administration would argue that the president has always been concerned about the state of the deficit, the debt and spending, and has always been moving towards addressing it. But I think it was clear that he spoke in new terms today, albeit terms that were not well received necessarily by the Republican side of the aisle, and there are still many on the far left that were unhappy with what the president said today.
David, there's concern in the Republican Party that Mr. Ryan has opened up, the ugly metaphor is a can of worms. We're talking about Medicare and Medicaid, and Mr. Schumer evidenced that he's ready to go right after that topic when he gets another opportunity. We saw that last week. That means Mr. Ryan, who is no more realistic about the future than the president, because we cannot know what the GDP is. We cannot know about the exigencies of 2014. This is a rosy scenario game in which both are playing $4 trillion and nobody believes it. That means that Mr. Ryan has opened up the Republican Party to attacks from the White House. Did those attacks start today, or did the president leave that out of his address?
Oh, not at all. I mean, he savaged the Ryan budget. And I'd point out the president wants to cut $4 trillion over 12 years. Ryan would like to do $6 trillion plus in 10 years or less. But he savaged to death the Ryan budget. That was noted by everybody. He basically accused Paul Ryan and the Republicans of wanting to, you know, put old people in a bunch of train cars and send it over a cliff and then send them a bill for it later. And that was noted. And I thought that the president could have garnered some more, I guess, some more open minds from Republicans if he would have noted his differences in a more muted and subtle way, you know, kind of saying, look, I don't know that I want to go down this road. I have a different idea, but let's work together. And he really went after that budget plan, and he made no bones about it.
Gordon, it appears that the president is comfortable with the class warfare rhetoric of the 20th century.
Well, you know, clearly it is, you know, because this is really where it started. And, you know, Republicans are guilty of that as well, in a sense. So, you know, what we have are really two class warfares going on at the same time.
David, the concern for everyone waiting for the president's speech today was that if he said not very much concretely, that he would not have achieved much. Was there the measure in Capitol Hill after the speech that the president had been concrete, or was he seen in repeating generalities without specifics?
I think it was somewhere in the middle. I think, as the White House said it would be, it was more of a vision speech, although the White House then released some general ideas of, you know, the kind of cuts he wants. So many hundreds of billions of dollars in agriculture subsidies, so many hundreds of billions in defense, so many, you know, billions here and there. So I'd say it was somewhere in the middle. I wouldn't call this a real detailed plan. Now let's hammer this out. It was more of a vision, and his vision was, we can cut spending without doing anything painful, or at least we can cut spending without doing it as painful as the other guy. And I mean well, and we don't know that he does.
Here's a puzzle for me, David. You're in Washington. We regard the news from Washington as very difficult to interpret until several years have gone by. The president of the United States put himself on the same floor with the chairman of the Budget Committee in the House of Representatives, a representative from Wisconsin, a very attractive figure, but not a major political actor, not global the way the president is. Was that regarded as a good decision by the president to be Ryan versus Obama, Obama versus Ryan?
Well, I don't know if it's been interpreted that way, and if it is, I don't think it would be given good reviews. I do think the president was complimented for attempting to deal with this issue, and I think that if you look ahead to 2012, the president can't simply ignore the fact that we have deficits and debts that are so far beyond anything we've ever had before that they are being treated as though, you know, they could lead to some sort of economic calamity. And if the president simply ignored this, he could get left behind, because I think voters in general are very nervous that Washington might not do something about this, even though when they hear the details, they start to want to protect this and protect that. So I don't think this hurts him. You know, I think the trouble for the president is that he doesn't philosophically really want to cut any spending, and philosophically would love to have the government get as big as humanly possible. But he realizes that in order to win re-election, he's got to attempt to deal with this anxiety and cannot ignore it, and simply can't run on growing government at this point.
Gordon, what we have is the Democrats won't reduce the size of government, and the Republicans won't raise taxes to pay for it. I think here in New York we call that a paradox.
Yeah, you know, you got a real problem, and someone's got to give.
David Drucker, roll call. The president's speech is done. On to 2012. The contest is well joined. The Republicans need a candidate. I'm John Batchelor.